There are three factors in the path that deal with the topic of right concentration, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration itself. And all three are necessary to get the mind to settle down. Right effort is generating the desire to get rid of unskillful qualities and to develop skillful ones. And that gets parsed out. Sort of unskillful qualities have not yet arisen, you want to make sure they don't. If they have arisen, you want to get rid of them. As for skillful qualities, if they haven't arisen yet, you try to give rise to them. And if they're there, you try to develop and maintain them, bring them to the culmination of their development. An important part of the formula is that you generate desire to do this. In other words, you motivate yourself. You decide this is a good thing you want to do. In other words, you're not just forcing yourself against your will. If you find that the mind is recalcitrant, resistant, you do your best at talking it into wanting to do the practice. Which is why the Ajahns always say that at the very beginning of the practice, take stock of your mind. Which direction is it heading? Is it heading toward lust or anger? Is it heading toward restlessness? Is it heading toward sleepiness? To make adjustments. Your mind is in the right mood. Ajahn Sawant would often talk about giving rise to a sense of conviction, a sense of feeling inspired that this is something you really want to do. This is a good use of your time. And it's a privilege to be able to meditate. And then with that motivation, then you can look at what's going on in the mind. Thoughts will come up that you may like, but you say, well, these are not skillful thoughts, so I've got to learn how to get rid of them. Again, you have to make yourself want to get rid of things that in the past you might have liked. So it's a certain amount of psyching yourself up to do this. Then based on that, you develop right mindfulness. You remember that you're going to try to get the mind to settle down, so you try to remember the topic, and such as the breath. And then you remember what's worked in the past, what hasn't worked in the past. So when something comes up that's going to pull you away from the breath, you remember, okay, I had this problem in the past. This is how I dealt with it. So let's say that sleepiness comes up and you don't tell yourself, well, now is a good time to rest. It's been a long day. It's dark out early outside. I feel like I need some rest. That kind of talking to yourself is not helpful. You remind yourself that you don't know how much longer you're going to have to meditate, but you do have right now. So focus on that. So you're trying to keep the mind with its proper frame of reference. In this case, the breath in and of itself, coming in and going out. And as the mind settles in, you're going to have to think about what's working and what's not working. Some of the problems may be with the mind, some of the problems may be with the breath. But the instructions as to how to do it, those are in the right mindfulness section. The right concentration section is basically descriptions of what it's like when it's done well. Right mindfulness is like the recipe. Right concentration is like the restaurant reviews, or the picture in the recipe book that tells you this is what it's supposed to look like when you do it right. So you can keep that in the back of your mind, but your main point of focus is going to be the breath. You're trying to get the mind into jhana, but you don't get it there by thinking about jhana. Although it's good to have a conception of what the word means. It doesn't mean trance. It basically means absorption. You're getting absorbed in something. And as they say in the canon, it's possible to get absorbed in anger and absorbed in lust. In other words, you're thinking about something incessantly, obsessively. But in cases like that, it's unskillful. that kind of thinking, that kind of jhana is going to lead you down the wrong road. You want to get obsessed about your breath. What's there to obsess about? Well, you realize the breath is the force of life. The way you breathe is going to have a big impact on the body, and especially when you conceive of the breath not as just the air coming in out of the lungs, but the whole flow of energy in the body that dilates and then contracts and dilates again and contracts again. Lets the air come in, lets the air go out. And that energy field is all over the body. It's all around. Thinking of it this way is helpful, especially when you read in the descriptions or the analogies for jhana, that you're going to be spreading the sense of ease that comes as the mind begins to settle down. You'll be spreading that around the whole body. Even with the sense of refreshment or even rapture that comes, you spread that around the whole body as well. And if you can think of the breath as being the solvent that allows that sense of ease to spread, it makes it a lot easier to get that state of where you're fully absorbed just in the process of breathing. And then you have to make adjustments, because the mind can slip off either into restlessness, say, okay, I've had a little bit of pleasure, now what next is coming up, or sleepiness. Things get comfortable in the body, comfortable in the mind. And what do we usually do when we get comfortable like that? We fall asleep. You have to learn how to resist that. This is where it's good to think of the verb that goes along with the noun for jhana, which is jayate. And it both means being absorbed in something. It also means burning with a steady flame. It's the word they use when they talk about the flame of an oil lamp, which is very steady. And if you think of your mind as being like a fire, when you're not in jhana, it's flickering all over the place. A little flame goes here, a flame goes there. They jump all around. And if you ever tried to read a book by a flickering fire, you know how hard it is. But if you've tried to read a book by an oil lamp, it's relatively easy. It's because the flame is still and it's well regulated. So you get focused on one thing, get interested in it, and then do your best to make sure the mind doesn't drift off either into excess energy or deficient energy. If you have too much energy, the mind is going to want to leave. One of the ways of dealing with that is to focus on the sense of ease that comes with the breath and ask yourself, which parts of the body are not getting it? You may have a general sense that things are okay in a general way, but go through the body very precisely, as long as the mind has the strength to think. Give it something calming to think about. That was the breath energy in the space between your fingers and your toes. How is it at the base of the spine? How is it in the different parts of your head, in your eyes, in your ears? In other words, give the mind something to think about, but something that's calming. That gets you even more interested in the breath. Now, if the problem is going the other way, you're getting sleepy. This is where you have to ask yourself, is the way you're breathing part of the problem? Because there's a tendency when the mind gets calm, the breath gets really subtle, and you just drift off. Part of the problem is that sense of ease that comes. And you drop the breath and you go for the ease. And the ease is a much vaguer thing to focus on. And it's possible to get into what's called delusion concentration, where things are quiet, but it's hazy. You're not quite sure where you are, what you're focused on. It's concentration without mindfulness and alertness. So the first thing to remember is always stay with the sensation of the breath. Don't leave that. And the second point is, as the breath gets comfortable, start spreading your awareness around to fill the whole body. Because if you really are fully aware of the whole body all at once, It's energizing. But it may happen that where your breathing is getting a little bit too calm. Usually it's good to think of breathing in long and out short to give yourself more energy. You can try deep breathing. You can try moving the spot of your focus around. Three breaths, say, in the middle of the chest, three breaths down by the abdomen, three breaths up of the neck, three breaths in the middle of the head, three breaths focusing on the back, moving around, and try to be systematic about it. That much extra work will help. Give the mind something to focus on in addition to the breath, because sometimes that's the problem. You focus on one thing and you wander off. Another way to deal with it is to focus on two spots at once. You think of the middle of the head or the base of the spine and think of a line connecting the two. Can you maintain that sense of being aware of two spots at once? Or you can think of the bones in the body and combine that with your awareness of the breath. In other words, ask yourself, where are your fingers right now? Where are the bones in the fingers? And relax any tension you may feel around the fingers. Then think about the bones in the palms of the hands. Relax any tension there, both in the palms and the backs of the hands. And then the wrists, then the forearms, the elbows, the upper arms, the shoulders. Then start down with the toes and go up through the feet, the ankles, the shins, the knees, the thighs, the pelvis, up the spine. Visualize the different bones and also ask yourself, where is the bone that I'm visualizing right now? Where is that located in my sense of awareness? And then relax it. So what you've got here is a combination of thinking and calming at the same time. And depending on whether you need to emphasize the thinking a little bit more or the calming a little bit more, it's a combination of the two that gets the mind to settle down, to adjust the flame so it's just right. It's not flickering around and it's not going out. You want to maintain a certain steadiness, because that's what this is all about, is getting the mind to be really steady. And learning not how to be waylaid by the different things that will happen as the mind gets steadier. Sometimes the sense of the body will get distorted. It may seem suddenly very small or very large. Or may feel that different parts of the body are missing. But what do? You stay with the breath. And gradually things will get quiet. But they'll be really steady and really clear, because that's where we're aiming. We're not here to check off a list. Well, I've done jhana now. Next, what's next on the itinerary? You're here to get the mind really steady so you can watch it, see what's going on. And you need it to be steady for a long period of time, because sometimes you'll do something now and it's going to be a little while before you see the results. So you've got to be here, on top of it. And this is what really matters. So you want to be able to discern suffering, as that chant said just now. It sounds strange. We all know that they're suffering, but we don't really discern it. What it is, where it's coming from. In all of its gradations, from stress up to big suffering. You have to put the mind in the right state so it can watch these things and then discern, okay, this is where the suffering is, this is where the cause is, this is how I can put an end to it. And that's what concentration is for. And part of the lessons come in learning to get the mind to settle down and realizing, okay, you're causing yourself some unnecessary stress by having a mind that's out of whack, out of balance. So you bring it into balance and learn how to get rid of some of those causes. And then once the mind is still, you can see things deeper still. The more steadiness you have, the more clarity you have, the more you understand. and the more you'll be able to solve this problem. Why it is that we want happiness, but we keep on creating suffering. The problem is not with the desire for happiness. It's how we go about it. The problem, and we go about it through ignorance. So if you can bring some knowledge to the process, you begin to see, okay, what really is happiness, what really is suffering. You see it clearly so you don't have to be told by anybody. You see for yourself. And that requires that you get the mind in a position where you can really trust it. That's what we're doing right now, getting the mind solid, steady, still. And it's a state of steady awareness that you're aiming for. The words jhana and mindfulness and effort and everything, they're useful as signs pointing in this direction. But don't be so obsessed by the signs that you forget to look at what's actually here.